Okay, ladies, good morning, good afternoon, good night, whatever we're up to. It's tough. We basically encountered this sugya about how you're not allowed to save your life with atzei asherah because you have to love Hashem b'chol levavcha. So we see from there that avodah zarah is going to be what we call Yehari Gayava. That was old news. Last night we encountered the Gemara that Hu Hadin, Gilui Arayis and Shvichas Damim is Yehari Gayavar. That Gilui Arayis and Shvichas Damim is also something you have to give up your life for. And the rationale behind that was this pasuk that equates Kasha Yoko Mishara'i or Nefesh. That we equate Nara Hamurasa to Shvichas Damim, and therefore they are both going to be Nitan Lahatzilo B'Nafsho. In both cases, you kill the pursuer. And also, the second half of that equation was that in both cases, it is going to be Yehari Vayavra, that you have to give up your life rather than violate the Aveira. The Svara, why I have to give up the reason I have to give up my life rather than violate the Aveira. By Ritzicha, by Shvichas Damim, is because of my chazas. Because who says your blood is redder than the other person's blood? Which Rashi understood me to mean that we want to prolong life, we want to save Jewish lives, and we also want to make sure that you're not doing an Aveira. So if someone's going to die anyway, so you may as well have the person die, you may as well lose one life, but not do an Aveira. As opposed to lose a life and have an Aveira done. That was the Gemara that we spoke about yesterday. Now, within the Gemara, there was a issue in Girsa. Do I assume that by Naira Hamurasa it's Yehareg V'al Ya'avar? Or do I say that by Naira Hamurasa the Girsa is Tehareg V'al Ta'avar? We noted that the simple reading of our, not the simple reading, the Lashon in our Gemara is Tehareg, but Tosos changes the Girsa to Yehareg. So let's go through the Tosos very briefly, and then we'll use this to kind of segue into the Reb Chaim and the Rambam, and maybe present a slightly different explanation of the sources. So let's go on. Af Naira Hamurasa Yehareg Vayavar, Perush HaBoel, Avalhi ti ba'el v'lo teharig, dekarka olam hi kida amar b'ben sara u'moreb, u'b'resh k'subos. Tosa says that the woman, because she is not active, so consequently, the woman should be ti ba'el v'al teharig. The woman is not obligated to give up her life rather than be involved in a situation of arayos, because she's not doing the Aveira. She is, or I'll say it more precisely, she is passive. Just like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Karka Olam, here also Karka Olam. Now let's just pause for a second. We mentioned this Gemara in passing yesterday. Karka Olam in the Gemara in Sanhedrin refers to a case of Varhesia. The Gemara says that if it's in public, if the goy is coming to me to say, you have to violate an Aveira or I'll kill you. So any Aveira that it is, like, I don't know, tiny, but what's an Aveira that sounds like really, really minuscule? Like, Lashon Hara, right? Let's be honest, right? So he comes to me, I'm going to kill you if you don't speak Lashon Hara. And I'm in public. I'm afraid to give up my life if there are 10 people around. By the way, word to the wise, people like to speak about how men count for a minyan and women don't count for a minyan. The Chazon Ish writes that for this din of farhesya, right, which is a din d'oraisa of a minyan, no? The din d'oraisa of farhesya is right over here, right? Minyan in shul, kaddish, kedusha, baruch hu, these things are drabbana. The din d'oraisa of a minyan, right, women are included also. No, farhesya, right? Men and women in front of 10 people. So this is just a nice thing to have in your pocket, right? It's a good bit of a...
Lashon
Again?
Dvar Torah for the week.
Yeah, that's right. So the Gemara says Karka Olam in the context of the din of Farhesia, that because Esther, the Gemara has a kasha, Esther was Farhesia. How come Esther didn't give up her life? Wasn't it in public? The Gemara answers Karka Olam. So the Gemara is using Karka Olam only in the context of Farhesia. The Gemara is not using Karka Olam in the context of Gilui Arayos, but Tosfos is saying that Karka Olam, the fact that the woman is passive, therefore it is not Yehorig Ba'al Yavor in that context. Viri Omer.
Next question.
Okay, so, fine.
If it is saying that a woman's only considered passive in cases of
Farhesia,
but in case of
Gilui Arayos. I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you to speak louder.
Okay. Is it saying that she's only considered passive in Farhesia situations, but in Gilui Arayos situations, she's not considered passive?
So in Gilui Arayos, she is considered passive. That's what our Tosfos is saying. But the context of the Gemara is not with respect to the Dinim of Gilui Arayos. The context of the Gemara is with respect to the Dinim of Farhesia. And Tosfos is borrowing this halacha of Karka Olam, which is formulated in Farhesia. Tosfos is borrowing that halacha and applying it to Gilui Arayos.
Just on the passive note, but then how can you say that?
You want to try it again while we're...
Does that mean that like, a woman can never be an active participant in any like sexual act? And like, how does that logical, like...
So hold that. We're going to discuss it in a few minutes. Tosis is assuming at this point that in a sexual act, the woman is passive. That's the assumption. Now, the Re basically says that no, you could have the text of Tehareg Ba'al Ta'avar, because we're talking about a case where she's an active partner. Right? That's what the Re says. The Re Omer, Deshapir Goras Tehareg, the onus is mutter. If she's karka olam, then it's okay. If she's passive, not that it's okay. If she's passive, then she's not mechuyev to give up her life. However, la'asos ma'isa, kigon she'omer la she'tovi ha'erva aleha te'hareg ve'al ta'asa ma'asa dimerotzeach yalfinon. We'll talk about this in a minute. But what Tosis is saying is that I can have the text of Tehareg because the woman, we are talking about a case when the woman is an active partner in the sexual act, right? If she is bringing, right, the way Tosis says it, Shatavi ha'erva aleha, when she's bringing the erva onto her. So in that case, she's active. That's what Tosfos says. Yes?
I thought we said that by definition, she's always passive.
So that's what Tosfos is assuming in the Hava. I mean, that's what Adina was asking. But Tosfos is now quoting from the Re that it is possible to create a situation when the woman is active. If she's bringing the man onto her, then she is active. Now, what this means, when you think about it, is that is not, I don't want to get fully graphic, but presumably that is a preliminary act, not the actual act of sex, right? Presumably that's something that's preliminary. Nonetheless, Tosfos is considering that to be active enough to make a Tehareg. The Ramban in the Mochamos, on that place, Daf Hey, wherever, in the Daf Hey Harif, the Ramban says the same idea, but the Ramban creates cases even more extreme. The Ramban writes that the correct girsa is Tehareg Ba'al Ta'avar, because the case is We're getting there. The case is, he writes, Kishem she'im hela libo tina yamut, af kishe ola libo tina tomos, velo tiba el. Right? The Ramban invokes that Gemara in Sanhedrin. Remember the Gemara that we said everyone quotes the high school students to scare them, about the fellow that's hella libatino, the guy is very excited, and the doctors are giving all this advice, etc. So the case is hella libatino, that the guy became aroused. Says the Ramban, if the woman becomes aroused, that it's... Okay. If the woman becomes aroused, says the Ramban, right? In the sense of not that she just becomes aroused, but presumably she leads herself to arousal, that is considered a maisa. The idea of tehareg va'al ta'avar, that if she is active, and we explained, according to Tosfos, the Ri said she's active, that she brings the erva to her. The Ramban extends that even further to say, if she becomes aroused, that itself is considered that she is active. That's already a big fiddish. But okay, that's what the Ramban says. So let's go further. Let's go back to the Tosfos. I feel bad. Nama is stuck in this difficult position. She's trying to log on and take notes at the same time. But
you don't have to log on. It's totally fine.
Oh, but it's fine for me. It's okay. I'm
like, this is like one of these challenges that like... Now, if we go on in the Tosfos, Tosfos is developing an idea that in order to be Yehareg Va'al Ya'avar, in order to have to give up your life, you have to be active. That's the basic theme that Tosfos says. And Tosfos says, I'm going to prove this, that you have to be active to be mechuyev to give up your life. Because even by rotseach, you're only mechuyev to give up your life. Again, the case of you kill her or you get killed, you're only mechuyev to give up your life in the case when you're active. Right, Tosfos creates this memorable scenario. Let's say there's a baby lying down and someone picks you up and says, let me throw you onto the baby and we'll kill the baby, we'll crush the baby. So am I mechuyev to give up my life rather than be involved in the killing of the baby? Zuk Tosfos, of course not. We made it. Sort of. That I'm not the player. I'm doing it 1 second. Abigail, can you hear me still, Atira? So Zuckdosis, I'm not looking to give up my life because in that case I'm completely passive. Right? You're just going to take me and throw me down on the baby. I'm completely passive. I'm not looking to give up my life. Tosfos comments from there, we see, and again, the there is just Tosfos' logic. From there, we see that when one is passive, the person is never mechuyev to give up their life. Because I should say, who says my life is, who says his life is more valuable than my life? Meaning, according to Tosfos, the svara of my buzzes, the svara who says you're more valuable than she is, that svara is basically requiring that you are passive, that you are not active. In a case that you are a murderer in a non-active way, Tosfos says, in that case,
you are not mechuyev to give up your life. That being it.
So that's what I thought Tosfos was saying, but the language is we drove at smicha. That sounds like drove yourself, not that someone else is going to throw you.
Well, Hanah. Lizrok Atmacha. What does Hanach mean? I thought Hanach means you should be allowed to have yourself thrown. Does anyone have like a better Gerson? Is there a Gerson Lizarek Atmacha? Or you're bothered by Lizrok Atmacha sounds like you're throwing yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
the word "not" means to allow yourself. So you're allowing yourself to be thrown. Right? That's what Tosis is basically saying. So Tosis is maintaining that, logically speaking, the halakha of my Tosis only tells me to be passive. And as such, even if I'm a passive murderer, I am not believed to give up my life not to be a passive murderer. But Tosis says, in the context of arayos, this is not true. Because in the context of arayos, let's say someone tells a man, allow yourself to be thrown onto an erva and in that way have sex. So Tosis says that case is not completely passive, because the halakha is that in kishrei ela madas, that the erection only comes about because of something that you're doing intellectually, and consequently, you cannot consider this man to be passive. Now, that means an idea very similar to what we said before. This means also that preliminary activities are considered actions for purposes of Yehar Vayada, right? Naman was bothered by the question earlier that if the woman is just pulling the guy onto her, right? That's not the actual sex act, that's preliminary. Well, I see from the continuation of Tosfos, in the case of where they tell the guy, Hanach l'tkoa atzmacha be'erva, so Tosfos says, in that case, it has to be Yehar Vayada, you can't say Hanach doing an action. So I don't know if it's as extreme as what the Ramban said, but it certainly is along the same lines, that preliminary acts are also considered active. Now, if this is the case, I believe Rav Elkanan Wasserman asks the kasha, but honestly, I did not look it up, so I'm working on my memory. When the Gemara says that Esther is karka ola, Esther was completely passive. Well, yeah, during the actual act of sex, she was completely passive, but she went into Ahasuerus's bedroom. She walked in. And once I'm assuming that preliminary acts themselves are halakhically significant, right, the enkishri elamadaas, like, allow Tavi Ma'erba Alaya, or whatever we would say. So how could an Esther we are treating it like Karkaola? I believe from Ochanan asks this kasha, but I did not look it up. Whatever it is, it's a good kasha, and I don't have the answer to that kasha. But apparently, there's a difference between preliminary and preliminary. No? Like, walking into the bedroom is too preliminary. I don't know where you drew the line. I don't get it. But I'm just learning the text. So far, so good? Now, this Tosfos and Tosfos' example of allow yourself to be thrown on the baby is very famous. And it's famous largely because Reb Chaim has an essay about it. It's the first Reb Chaim in the Sefer. The first Reb Chaim. Did any of you have a chance to take a look at this Reb Chaim? No. Okay. So this is going to be for tomorrow night. If you've never had the experience of learning a Reb Chaim, it's just worth doing it. You'll probably, if I photocopied it, it's around like This will kind of take him 45 minutes to show. It's only two paragraphs, but his material is dense. So Plato is bothered by the following question on the tenses. Now, I tell someone, allow yourself to be thrown on the bait. So in that case, Tyson says, well, you're passive. And because you're passive, so therefore the halacha is that we do not say yehari baya. But hello, it's not just that I'm passive in that case. I'm not a murderer at all in that case. If you say, Schwartz, let me pick you up, I'm going to throw you on top of the baby. I'm not a murderer. The one who throws is the murderer. I am a bolt. Right? Isn't that what I am? I'm the instrument that nincompoop is using to kill. He's the murderer. I'm a bullet. I'm nothing. Right? Of course I'm not dying to give up my life, not to be a bullet. Tosis' entire proof by invoking this case is assuming that this is tantamount to murder. But that is a stretch which we have to recognize, and that's what Chaim's clash on Tosis. If Chaim asks, how can you prove anything from the case when the guy is being thrown on the baby to the case of Gioi Arayos when you're not active, how can you prove anything? There's a difference between being a non-active partner in crime and not being involved in the crime at all, or just being an instrument of the crime. Right? There's a difference that you could have. Right, the actor, the subject, one who's acted on, or you could just be a prop almost. I mean, I have to.
You're willingly giving yourself to be that bullet.
But is there an issue to give myself? Is there an issue to be a bullet? I'm not doing anything. I'm just a bullet. Right? Tosis's argument that this case is the same as the case of a woman who is not active in an act of healing arises, it's all part of Zell's end. And she's still very good. You don't seem to.
Yeah. But I understand what you're saying. If we're saying that you should let yourself be the weapon, then that you are involved because you can stop it from happening.
Well, I'm not involved in the sense of I asked you, whose action is it? So in the case of Gilead Arias, who's doing it? The man and the woman are doing it. The woman is not active, the man is active, but they're both doing the event. In this case, the fellow who is thrown is not doing the event at all. That fellow is just an instrument. I think that passion for Chaim is a very strong passion. Now,
can I ask a weird tangential question? Like, if you have a short meniscus, like the owners, no, I.
If you have a short meniscus,
no,
okay.
Not a short meniscus, a Gordon Knox.
Okay, a short man.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that short is like just the instrument, and really it's the owner's fault. But we still punish the shore. We tell the shore.
Okay, so let's go slowly. You just shredded on a machlokas between the Rambam and the Morah and the Ramban and his Kriya Shabbat Torah. Okay. In other words, this is not completely relevant to our topic.
No, my point.
The Rambam and the Morah agrees with you that the punishment to the shore is not to the shore. We're punishing the bile of the shark because the ox is just an instrument. The Ramban says no, that animals have enough bechira to know not to kill humans.
Right, so according to the Ramban, it's sort of the same equation that, like, the man who's being thrown out of the baby is the shark. And, like, he is that instrument still has to be punished.
Perhaps, or again, I don't know the exact scenario Like, is the guy who's picking me up, you know, 6'5" with bulging muscles, now like this 4'3" little Jewish guy? Like, I don't got a choice.
Don't you punish a shorter man because
he'll
just keep destroying him?
So again, so we kill the Sharmula because he'll continue to glare, etc. I don't want to carry the Sharmula in case the Abbey Yoga for him as interesting as it is. But let's just hold this passion for a minute. In the Sefer, points out that if you read Parahei on Hukos Yisodei HaTorah, so the Rambam writes that everyone is proclaiming in Kiddush Hashem, etc. And there's a din of Achayim on him, which means that you should remain alive as much as possible. But the Rambam wants us to save lives. But there are three Averis in the Torah, which are heard by Yahar, the Rambam writes, and Perkei Halachahei, Halachavav, excuse me, Halachadalad, Perkei Halachadalad, the Rambam writes that by Gilei Arayis, Avod Nezar, and Shkita Slomim, since you're hired by Yahweh. That's why the Rambam says it. The Rambam does not clarify that we're only talking about a case when you are active. The Rambam by Gilei Arayos says Tzihar Vayavar, end of conversation. By Ritzicha, the Rambam says Tzihar Vayavar, end of conversation. The Rambam does not distinguish between it being passive and being active. Never is that mentioned in the Rambam. And the Chayim is bothered, how come the Rambam does not say that if you're passive, you're not willing to give up your life? After all, Tosfos proved logically from that case of being thrown on a baby that in that case you're not willing to give up your life, that passive, you're not willing. How come the Rambam does not say that? That's Reb Chaim's question. Now, I remember the first time I did this Reb Chaim, Rabbi Avi Tzarfati, he's now one of the Rebbeim of Yeshiva, so here's my talk, so we were discussing it. So he's like, how do you ask this question? Like, you're asking Rambam, how come you don't say Chaim? That's not fair! Right? That's not a fair question. Rambam, how come you don't say something? Like, Tosfos has this idea. So the Rambam, even if the Rambam would, I'll say it like this. It could be that the Rambam fully agrees with Tosfos' idea. This was Rabbi Sarfati's comment like 25 years ago when I worked with him. It could be the Rambam fully agrees with Tosfos' idea. But the Rambam's job is only to quote halachos as found in Shas. The Rambam does not tell me chidushim. Occasionally, the Rambam will say, I have a fetish. But that's pretty rare. And each time the Rambam does it, we have to figure out why does the Rambam do that. But you can't ask on the Rambam, how come the Rambam is so sick? How come the Rambam just says, Gilei Arayis, Avod Nezar, Shkita Slomim, Yehareg Vayavar, and he doesn't distinguish between active and passive? It's not a kasha, because he doesn't have to. Because the Rambam is just being mitzatek, he's just quoting the Gemara. That was, I thought, a very, very reasonable point, but okay, let's go on. Based on this question, Reb Chaim. By the way, who was Reb Chaim? When and where did he live?
Between Moshe
Rabbeinu and Reb Moshe Feinstein, in this case, is not completely correct. Because he overlapped with Reb Moshe Feinstein a little bit. Reb Chaim was the grandfather of Reb Soloveitchik. Reb Chaim was the Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin, and then he became the Rosh Hashiva. I personally never got Reb Chaim in the session. I just I never drank that Kool-Aid. Like, everyone says, our time invented a whole new approach to Talmud Torah. I don't know why. I don't get it. I should have gone to that some sort of chapter about this also. Their chapter's like, why are we bound to say over our Rabbayim? Like, there's so many good Torah. Like, I don't know. But somehow, in the world of yeshivos, Rabbayim is like king. And it's very hard. This sefer was published after he died. It was published by Rav Moshe Soloveitchik and her daughter. Rav Moshe was the Rav's father, right? Rav Moshe was the Rosh Hashiva here until he died in 41. And her daughter is who they call the Brisker Rav, what they call the Rav, and the other Brisker Yeshiva is an art Brisker Yeshiva. The Rav is the Rav. It gets really complicated. There's a guy who's in the Heights, he's the Rosh Hashiva, the Purim Yeshiva. So I daven in the mini where he davens during the week sometimes. And like, I speak with him in morning, and he's like, the Rav said, I'm like, no, he didn't. we're talking about different people. Okay, got it. Okay. Now, Rav Chaim argues that according to the Rambam, even if you're passive, you're willing to give up your life. And this is based on a hakira that he raises into what's the nature of my chassis. Remember, the Gemara says that who says my blood is redder? Therefore, what? My chassis the doma today, the doma dog. So if they doma the ogad. Who says my blood is redder? Maybe the other person's blood is redder. Because of that, my cousins, that question of who wins, I end up in the following situation. One possibility is that my cousins tells me I don't know what to do, therefore be passive. Don't make waves, don't do anything. That's one approach. However, Chaim feels that there's another approach which is more correct. That other approach is that ma'achuzis means we have like offsetting penalties, my life, her life, ma'achuzis. And ma'achuzis tells me not to be passive, but ma'achuzis tells me that there is no halacha of ma'achuzis on them. Where there's no halacha of pikuach nefesh, the makom ritzicha. According to Reb Chaim, we can understand that my chassis is not telling me to be passive. Because if it's telling me to be passive, in the case of being thrown on the baby, you're passive, etc., but the rabbi never quotes that case. Rather, my chassis, Reb Chaim explains, is a halacha that b'makom ritzicha, we do not have pikuach nefesh being doha. Pikuach nefesh is doha in other areas of halacha, but not b'makom ritzicha. Not b'makom shtichas domim. Reb Chaim proves this idea from the Gemara. I think Adina, were you the one who mentioned it yesterday? Maybe Atira. No, I think it was Atira mentioned this Gemara yesterday. The Gemara Atira is like, yes, I got it, right? The Gemara in Bava Metzia, son of Beis, has a case of two people are walking in the desert. And one person has a jug of water. And the other person doesn't. So there's a question, what do you do? It's a machlokes between Reb Akiva and Ben Keturah. Ben Keturah basically says that they should both die. Reb Akiva says that Dayan Apolmin Lachayim Kaverka, you have the jug of water, you drink it, and let the other fellow die. Right? That's Reb Akiva. Reb Schefter always quotes that some of the Talmud scholars argue that Ben Keturah's position is so illogical. They both have to die? It doesn't make any sense. So this Talmud scholar maintained that obviously Ben Keturah is an early Christian. And as an early Christian, the idea of, you know, almost turning the other cheek in an extreme form would mandate that they both die. But no one in the Jewish tradition would ever entertain this idea. I don't know, it is a little bit of a strange idea that like they should both die, correct? So weird, but that's what Ben Pitzura says. But no matter what, Rebbe Kiva disagrees with Ben Pitzura. And Rebbe Kiva says, that your wife takes precedence over the other person's wife. Now, why do I need a pasuk of the chayel eicha imach? Why do I need a pasuk? If not for the pasuk, you get the impression that what? That you're not supposed to save yourself. Or if not for the pasuk, you get the impression that you don't have a heter to drink the water. The chayel eicha imach is a pasuk that gives me a heter to drink the water for myself. Why? Shouldn't they say my chazis? Shouldn't they say the same idea? Ms. Zaychik, I see you raising your hand.
Yeah, isn't it that imach means that, like, if you're living, then he should live. If you're not living, then there's no requirement to sustain him.
Right. That's what the chayav tikkun imach tells me. But the point is, our Gemara has lav, right? A svara. How do you know Ritzicha is not open? There's a svara. My pasuk is the dom of Liba. If you have a svara, you don't need a pasuk. So the question really is, why does Rebbe Kiva need the pasuk? Why don't we just say, then of course, you should live. The terrace is, says Rebbe, that in a situation where someone is going to die, the halacha is that there is no heter of pikuach nefesh. If someone is going to die, I don't say, oh, you know what, someone's going to die, so pikuach nefesh or whatever. No, if inevitably someone will die, the Gemara of my chazis teaches me there is no heter of pikuach nefesh when someone might die, and that's why I need the pasuk of b'chayav eicha imach. Okay, let's say it again. Reb Chaim has this hakira. What's the logic behind my pasuk? What's the logic behind who says my blood is red than your blood? Does the halacha of my pasuk tell me to be chassid? Or maybe the halacha of my chazis tells me that b'makom shvichas damim, in a situation that someone's going to die, there is no heter pikuach nefesh where someone's going to die. Meaning, if you have two people and inevitably someone is going to die, no heter pikuach nefesh. If it's the second way, so then the Chaim says, I understand the episode of Rabbi Akiva. What Rabbi Akiva is saying is two people are walking in the desert. Inevitably, someone is going to die. So don't tell me, oh, the Kuach Nefesh, drink the water yourself, after Gomor, my buzzes, like my life, his life, her life, their life. Right? Don't make that calculation. I need a puzzle of the day of Eicha Imach to tell me that I can drink the water myself instead of another person. Meaning, my chazis is not simply a svara that tells me to be passive, but my chazis is a svara that tells me that the b'makom of death, the b'makom someone will inevitably die, the other individual in that case does not have any kuwas of pikuach nefesh. If there's inevitable death, I'm going to die, he's going to die, like someone's going to die, so there's no kula pikuach nefesh. So I need the fey of eicha imach, right? Like Atira said, it's imach, you, right? I need to, a pasuk to tell me that I should drink the water. Let me just give you the clincher, then I'll take your comment. Based on this, Reb Chaim says, for the Rambam, the halacha of Yehari V'al Ya'avar applies even when I'm passive. Because even when I'm passive, the fact is I'm involved in a mitzvah situation. And when I'm involved in a mitzvah situation, the halacha says there is no kula of pikuach nefesh. I am not allowed to even be an accessory toward mitzvah. And it's a hard bayavar to be the bullet to be thrown. Reb Chaim is getting to this point, and now you can see already why Reb Chaim is like very complicated. Logically, this is hard to, it's even hard to say it over, no? The idea that my chazus is a halacha or a svara, I should say, not a halacha, it's a svara, that b'makom shpichus donen, there is no kula of pikuach nefesh. That means b'makom shpichus donen, I have no right to do anything at all. I cannot even be thrown on the baby. And that's why I need a special pasuk to tell me that I'm allowed to drink the water that someone else is drinking. So that is the Reb Chaim. Not easy to say over. I'm doing the best job I can. And Miguel, what's your rebuttal?
I was confused about something, but now I'm going to be confused about something else. Why does my cousin mean that?
Why? So here's the thing about Brisker Torah. Brisker Torah is descriptive. It doesn't ask the why question.
We have a pasuk that says the chayim.
We have what?
We have a pasuk that says the chayim.
Yes.
And then the Rambam says it's after the baby birth. And then the chayim comes along and says what my chayim is doing is saying that no kulas of pikuach nefesh exists when there's the baby birth.
That's correct. Or let's just talk about shpichus damim and the other two are equal. We'll just talk about shpichus damim. But there's no heter to kuach nefesh from mokom shpichus damim because of my chazus.
But where does that come from?
Reb Chaim is saying that that's exactly the svara that the Gemara meant.
So can you spell that svara out?
The svara is who says my life is more worthy than anyone else's life? Consequently, in a case where life will be taken, I do not have a right to try to save myself. Or I literally have a right and an obligation to try to save myself. That's called b'makom nefesh. But b'makom that there is shpichus damim, I do not have the right or the obligation or the heter
b'makom nefesh. And why does pasuk of chayim not pertain to this?
So that piece of chayim is talking about a din of hatsoa rather than a din of shpichus damim. Right? In that case, I'm not killing anybody. The hot baking sun in the middle of the summer is killing this guy. I have water that's a din of hatsoa. So B'chai Bahem is teaching me, in that case, that there's a din of hatsoa, but the pasuk of B'chai Bahem does not apply in the case of shpichus damim, in the case where I'm killing. And as such, there is no heter even to be passive in mitzvah. That's what Chaim is saying. Now, let's first ask a kasha on Reb Chaim, and then maybe we'll try to give another shot. Again, to some extent, what we are doing is we are working in an alternative universe. We're working in a universe which is based on Reb Chaim's premise. That the fact that the Rambam does not tell me that there is a difference between active shpichus damim and passive shpichus damim, that indicates that the Rambam disagrees with Tosfos. We are assuming there's findings in the verse, which might not be a warranted assumption. Within the findings universe, he proves, from the case of the two people who are walking in the desert, that we need a pasuk to allow the individual A to drink his own or her own water. I need a pasuk for that because it's the makom death, and therefore there's no heter of pikuach nefesh. Even though it's passive. The Kabbalah is assuming that in that case, I'm being passive in that I am just holding on to my own woman. Well, it's not necessarily the case. I don't want to get, well, let's say it like this. Wait, if I'm in the desert with someone and I have a thing of water, and the other guy doesn't have a thing of water, right? So what happens if the guy, in all likelihood, the other guy's going to try to beat me up and steal the water from me, no? And by the way, the halacha might say it's perfectly permitted. Well, this is from the Heinz dilemma in psychology or something, right? Are you allowed to, kill somebody or whatever it is to get medicine to save somebody?
Although there is just robbery.
Just robbery. Remind me of like that. That's
well, it's not murder.
No, no, come on, it's not murder. It's not murder. But would I be allowed to physically assault someone to get the water from them to save my life? Right? That's like the Heinz dilemma on steroids, no? But the Ora, and the Heinz dilemma doesn't mean there's no answer to the Heinz dilemma, it's just different ways of thinking about it morally. But Halacha might say, I'm allowed, or maybe even obligated, to beat you up to steal the water so that I could live. Now, if that's the case, so I'm walking through the desert, and here's my jug of water, right? You're going to come, and you're going to try to steal the jug of water from me. I'm not going to be passive. I'm going to be active. The assumption that Reb Chaim is making that that case in the Gemara of Metzia is that I am passively holding onto my water is completely unwarranted. Moreover, if Shlomo Zalman asks the following question, let's say I'm walking through the desert. I have water. You steal the water from me. Am I allowed to steal it back from you? Or do I assume, right, that once you have the water, you're allowed to drink it and save your life? Right? Is this one of, if you get kind of violent, no? So, Reb Chaim's suggestion that Shlomo Zalman points out is very difficult. But nonetheless, I think there is some room to defend the alternative universe of Reb Chaim, and to say that even if you're passive, still it's your heart by power, but it might be based on a totally different logic. Until now, we've been focused on the svara of my chazak to donach midosam mitzvah. Who says your blood is red? It's very likely that me'ezah sibashahi, the Rambam does not question this halacha of my chazak. Let's take a few cases. We began discussing this briefly yesterday. Now, my chazak, who says my blood is red? Let's say I am, you know, this actually came up in some of Rav Schechter's Piskei Corona, right, at the time when there was a limited number of ventilators. So someone who's there first, you give them a ventilator first. Let's say two people are coming in at the same time. Do I assume my causes that, you know, don't do anything? Or do I say, no, I'll make a calculus that one of the people is 93 years old and doesn't have much of a chance anyway, in the sense of long-term life, and even in the sense of short-term life. There was recently an article in Tradition, the last issue of Tradition, where Dr. Judah Goldberg wrote about how there's this notion, which is not very well medically defined, called frailty. If a person is just weaker in general, the person has less of a chance of a positive outcome from medical interventions. So my thought, one second, Sarah, my thesis is not an actual tzvara. Who says my thought is rare? First of all, it's not an actual tzvara in the sense of, well, I have a better chance of life. It's not an actual tzvara because in the halachos of, you know, the Gemara in Harayos discusses, let's say, there are two people at the bottom of the pit. One's a Kohen, one's a Levi. Who do I say? There are rules. There are rules of Kedima. These rules of Kedima are relevant to help us stuck also. Stuck can be life-saving. I see that I don't apply my process as just a clear across the board saying, oh, who's more worthy? Sometimes the halakha does have principles of triage. Sarah?
Something that comes up when you're assigning strengths for they're connected to each other, you have to choose which one then the other one has a certain picture necessary or maybe one of the way.
Okay.
That some of those questions that was coming up there, like which one is being provided and why this is that. You have to do something because you got finish someone's gonna die, but who's that?
Correct. So I have to do something to quote that if someone is going to die. According to the logic that we just developed. So now what should happen? I don't know. What? You can tell me that you have to be passive, don't save anybody? That's a little extreme. It's not reasonable. No? Don't use a ventilator for anybody, because I can't make a decision, right? Who gets the ventilator? That's not reasonable. Adina, if I could just ask everyone to speak up, because between masks and my hearing, it's a challenge. And social distancing.
Does this also relate to the trolley problem?
The trolley problem, yes, absolutely. In other words, let's say I'm driving a car and the car is out of control and it could go straight and kill five people or it could go off back into the ravine and only kill one person. What do I do? So as a matter of halacha, Rav Shlomo Zalman in an essay on this Gemara, he says, well, if you assume that you should be passive, that would mean don't turn off of the road even though fewer people will be killed. You lost control of the brakes, right? That's the trolley problem, I think so. That's what he's assuming. It's very hard, you know, to make these calculations. Obviously, by the way, these calculations are totally theoretical. If you're the guy behind the steering wheel and the car loses control, you're not going to sit there like saying, oh, it's a tie writer, it's a tie writer. You're not going to do that. Abigail, maybe you would.
No, I'm in a moral psychology class, and our last class was modern day problems. And one of the big issues is self driving cars.
Yeah.
What they're going to make as policy. Like, you can set it in a self-driving car. Like, the car company can say, okay, do we care about the passenger or do we care about the five people on the street? And the question is, should the government make laws to regulate what the car does? And then you have the other question of, if, let's say, America makes it says that it should be, like, utilitarian and it should save as many people as possible, we don't care about the passenger, will Israel step in and say, no, we want to dictate something else?
That's the point that you're making is really, there's all of these philosophical questions about the trolley car and the way we were kind of dismissing it. It might actually be dealt.
Yeah.
In terms of how you program the computers of the self-driving cars. Yeah, well. One of my kids doesn't want to take driver's ed. Like, you might not have to. Yeah.
Not learning how to write.
None of my kids know how to write script.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
It's like
we spent the whole year in third grade.
It's a total lost art, like cursive writing or whatever. You thought that was like the funniest word in third grade. Cursive writing. No. Okay, so it goes like this. You had a comment?
Yes, yeah, I had a question. I really
yeah.
Is there no difference? I understand why there wouldn't be, but is there no difference between if it's your, I guess this is the whole issue, but if it's yourself, so let's say I'm driving a car and I'm the only passenger, I'm my only passenger, versus if there's five people on the street, like don't I have more, I don't know if halakhically this makes sense, but shouldn't I have more power to take my own life versus someone else's life?
It's my life versus someone else's life. In other words, if I could, again, we have to figure out the exact parameters of this particular trial. Am I going to die no matter what? or is there a chance that I'm going to survive? No, so if I'm going to die no matter what, right? And it's a question, do I die myself or do I die together with five other people? But that's a very different question than if it's me dying and killing one person or me dying and killing five other people.
Meaning that one person is you.
Hey, if that one person is, if it's only me versus it, that's a very different question. Let's run around them together. Let's run around them. Perkei Hamafetei. Nashim Sha'amru Lahem Obdikul Kodim. No one of us has we can, then the Tamei Osa, then Lab, the Tamei is Kolchet. Right? The Goyim say, I their hand one person over, and we'll defile that one woman, or we will defile everybody. So you tell them, what? By Yimsru Mahen, Nefesh Achas Yisrael. Right? Everyone has to be defiled. You have no right to hand anyone over. The pain of Amr Mahem Ode Kochotem, so one will echo me kent in the Hargenim. You know, Nahar al Kochotem. Hand over one person, or we will kill everybody. Everyone has to die. I could give over one person and everyone would be saved besides that one person. Or we could all die, including that one person. Everyone has to die. But in Yadu, the Amr, Tinulanu Colonial Narrowness Kohen. If they say, give us Reuven, or we'll call everybody, they designate that person. So the rabbi writes, if this one person is Mechuyev Nisa, like Sheva Ben Bichri, so then you give the person over. But if he's not Chayev Nisa, everyone has to die. So the rabbi basically is telling me that it's better for everybody to die than to hand an individual over, right? This is the case in Rav Ephraim Ashri's Chuvas Mimamakim, he has cases like this, and like the Yudin Rat was asked to hand over a certain amount of Jews to the Nazis, or everyone would die. Of course, there's strict halacha, everyone's going to be killed. No, you have no right to hand over anyone. This is a discussion in Yerushalmi. The problem is, and the Kesef Mishnah raises the problem. The problem is that the Sevara of Machazus does not work in this case. Because what can Machazus say? Machazus is, who says my blood is more worthy? Maybe that person's blood is more worthy, right? So the Sevara of Machazus would seem to indicate, well, if I have a calculus, I die with everybody, right? Or just I die. So the Sevara should be, give yourself over, no? My chazus would seem to say very clearly, have one person die rather than everyone dies. In Kasha, what in Kasha, the Tesef Mishnah says, that the rabbi writes, if you're not playing Nisa, you should not give the guy over. But for the Tesef Mishnah, like a Holy Spirit in my chazus. There's no svara. Sharei Huna Hain Neharag in the Logan service. The svara of my chazus does not apply. The Efshar Lomar, says the Kesef Mishnah. It could be that Rish Lakish holds, again, this is all from the Rish Lakish and Shami and Shumas. Then we say that Bashkir was done, there's a svara, Eino Ikar Hatan. The svara of my chazus, Eino Ikar Hatan, is not the real reason. The real reason is Kabbalah Isabiyodan that Shrikustam is Yahar Bayakar. They have a tradition that Shrikustam is Yahar Bayakar, but they give a little bit of a svara, but it's not a fully binding svara, because even in cases where my process does not apply, still the halacha is that Shrikustam is Yahar Bayakar. Even in the case where any calculus you could make would indicate that it's better to hand the person over. Nonetheless, we don't do it. Shvichus Dom is Yahar Bayakar. Even though, if I'm based on my chazus, of course you should give the person up. What this means, And I saw this idea in, there's a real good sefer on numbers and stuff. It's called the Birkas Shah. He's the son, I believe, of Mechon Yehuda the Leftovitz, who's like one of the Gedolim of the Bnei Brak who died like 10 years ago or so. So the Birkas Shai, he has a very simple approach here. If anything in this city could be simple, this is simple. The Birkas Shai says, you know, the Rambam denies the Svara of my cousins. In that case, hand over one person will kill everybody. But the Rambam is denying my cousins. If you hold that my cousins is not the governing principle, if you deny my cousins, so then of course, but then we can make a strong case that even when I'm being passive, I am mechuyev to give up my life. The whole argument why, if I'm passive, I don't have to give up my life is based on the principle of my cousins. But we see from this Rambam in Halacha Hey that the principle of my cousins does not apply. That's already an interesting idea. Okay. Should I repeat this point? Sometimes when people are looking at me, it's like,
Yes, please.
Got it. Thank you. I assume that was the answer. We're having differences. The logic to be passive, right? Reb Chaim, or I'll say it like this. Reb Chaim has this fancy approach that maybe there's two ways to understand my process. Right? That's what we said 20 minutes ago. We could argue that the Rambam is not reinterpreting my cousins. Rather, the Rambam is denying my cousins. This logic of who says your blood is red, etc., the Rambam does not hold of that logic. Proof in the pudding is, in that case, hand over one person, or it will kill everybody. That case makes no sense according to the rules of my cousins. Yet the Rambam paskins that everybody has to die. I see that the halacha of my cousins is not accepted according to the Rambam. Once the halacha of my cousins is not accepted according to the Rambam, so then we could explain this alternate universe idea. We could explain this idea that Reb Chaim tried to show that according to the Rambam, a person is obligated to give up his or her life rather than becoming a bullet to be thrown. Again, sponsors. The rationale might be because my pleasant is not an accepted svara. The Gemara proposes or mentions my pleasant as a quasi-explanation of this halakha that shvichus damim, etc., is not your heart by yavar, or shvichus damim is your heart by yavar. We propose my buzzes, but it's not the real reason. The real reason, says the classification, is Kabbalah. Kabbalah, not in the sense of like this guy who was learning in the yeshiva in Israel, and like, no. Not like that, yeah.
Why can't you just say that my Chazit only works one way? It only teaches Yahweh Baliyah. Can't possibly teach Yahweh
Baliyah. Well,
the Gemara uses my
Chazit
to say Yahweh Baliyah.
So,
my Chazit, you can only use the logic in one way.
Here's the thing. In other words, if I take the words my Chazit seriously, so then I should end up with cases where my Chazit would say, and this is like what we began this figure with. Let's say I know for sure that this life is more valuable than that life. Right? Let's say one of the people's a trefa. One of the people's 97 years old, the last gas for mayor, right? All those cases. But you get the impression that we are not really using the story of my cousins. What you're suggesting is basically the same idea. You're saying that maybe my cousins is a story that only works in one direction. That's effectively the same thing as saying that we don't feel that my cousins is the real star. And I think that's in the same place. Okay, there's so much more to say about this. Can Mr. Shepard tomorrow night go through all these sources? But I'm not going to show it tomorrow night, although I might want to just say one brief point, the difference between Halakhah and Halakhah Vav in the Ramban is worth noting. But I think there's enough here in this sugya that should keep you busy tomorrow night. I find this stuff really good. As good as that could be. Okay. Excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.